Check, check. Can you guys hear me? Oh, no. What are you doing?
Is that wrong? I didn't know if it was Sam.
Oh, no. Don't do that, bro. Don't touch anything, bro. Fuck. All right, guys. Yep. In the spirit of this show, now we got even a major technical difficulty. We always have a technical difficulty on every show. Right now, we have a major one.
What
and
happened?
Your camera is Instagram.
Oh.
Your camera is now my Instagram feed. Guys, can you hear me? Can you motherfuckers hear me? Huh?
Can everybody hear everybody?
He's saying it's working but no video. Yeah, but can you hear me? Can you hear both of us? That's
check one.
That's
two.
What I want to make sure, because usually we do a sound check before, but you know, Hendren has a baby in tow.
Yeah, we tried our best to get over here in time, but she.
Yeah, I mean that's listen, it's understandable.
She wanted that milk.
It's understandable. First off, put that in fucking airplane mode.
I like this.
Now I gotta go to...
Wild CV is here, enjoying the show live. She is 7 months old, just started crawling, is moving around, and just got her first tooth. So that's sweet. She's got big things coming for the holidays. Gonna go back and show the fam.
Could have swear you could have just turned off. Never. Sorry, guys. Technical difficulties. You guys like the long podcast? This is what you get.
Yep.
That's one of the
3 hours of technical difficulties.
Yeah.
What? You're being very good.
Boom.
Big Naturals tomorrow night at the Hollywood Improv, 10 p.m. in the lab. Big Naturals. Come check out that show. Promotion.
All right, guys. You guys can hear us. Good. Emily B., thank you for joining us. I don't know who you are. Do you know an Emily B.?
Emily B., no, not
well,
off the top
I'm glad
ahead.
You're joining us, Emily.
But maybe.
We need more females up in this bitch.
Mm.
This thing is, we got a lot of dudes in the comments usually, but they're good guys so far. We've had some mishaps.
Oh, yeah. I had a guy the other night. I was hosting the midnight show. Mike there at Third Wheel, a guy who went up and flipped out. Started yelling at everybody. He, I don't know. He wasn't funny, and then he got mad about it, and then was calling everybody racist.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah.
Isn't that great?
He didn't even see my set. I was just hosting in the chair in the back, and he got there later and got on the list, and then he was just like, Hendren, you're racist. He's like, what's your name? Hendren, you're fucking racist. And I was like, I mean, if you'd seen my set, you might have something, you know, reasoning behind it, saying that, you know, maybe you could have picked up on something that I said that was racist, but he didn't even see my set, so, you know, it's just like, just call me racist and you don't even know
and me. Who was it?
I don't know, some rando, first timer.
Rando, we're talking rando comedian?
Yeah, like maybe the first time he'd ever done stand-up, I think.
Like a new comedian?
Yeah. Hopefully the last time, too.
You know, that's the theme right now, isn't it?
The holiday, especially January 1st. Yeah, that's a lot of new people start then.
Oh, no, no, no. The theme is, the theme now is, you know, a white guy.
Oh, yeah, I just call people racist.
You're fucking racist.
Yeah, yeah. It's a easy thing to, it's like one of those blanket, like, rapist, racist, like, just, when you argue you're not a racist, it just makes you sound more racist.
Yeah.
You
know.
So I lean into it. I'm racist, I guess.
Oh, yeah? Yeah? Is that what you do? You lean into it?
What are you going to do? You know, I'm not going to argue with somebody that I'm not racist. I go, fine, sure, I'm racist. Can we move on with the conversation?
You know what's funny, man, is it's just as a minority, like, you know, that grew up and, like, you know, would have to deal with
real
all kinds
racism.
Of racism.
Yeah.
You know, even from my own people, it's not just white people.
Oh, no. Yeah, right? We don't. See, that's the thing. They want to stop, you know, trying to stop like racism in the U.S. because a lot of it is unfounded and against, you know, people less fortunate or poorer communities. But other parts of the world, they're like, we are just fine with our racism. We'd like to keep it. It's working very well for us.
Yeah, for real, though. But the thing is, as a minority, I can usually tell when someone's racist or not.
Yeah, if they're genuinely.
Yeah, like if someone was to say, that guy's a racist, right?
Yeah.
Usually, like if I kind of know a person, kind of like I know you, I'm like, get the fuck away from me.
Like you're now done. I don't trust you.
Yeah, like now you're the one I got to fucking worry about. Yeah. Because it's just like, oh, then what is it? And then you inspect it. And it's just like, come on, man. The guy's telling a joke.
Yeah.
Not only that, he's probably in the process of figuring out a new joke.
Jokes especially, too, because it's like, when did it get taken away that, like, I thought the idea was, like, you go on stage, nothing up here is real in the sense of, like, it's all meant for laughter. You might say things that are real points or whatever, but it's not, this is not the place where we're trying to push through real thoughts. It's we're trying to push through funny thoughts and just make things funny. And so it's like, I always thought that was the contract. It was like, hey, we're not talking real shit. This isn't TED Talks here. This isn't like political speech.
Yeah,
this
is exactly.
Fucking jokes.
This is a experiment with words. This is an experiment with thoughts and ideas and drawing parallels and seeing, can you get a chuckle even if it's something terrible?
Yeah. Oh, those are the best.
Those are the best, man.
Yeah.
How did you go to the mic last night at Improv?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to make it. I got stuck at the Apple store.
Oh.
But how was it?
It was good. It was pretty packed. I got up, did well, didn't say anything racist, came out hard against lesbians. Not really against lesbians, but I've been working on this new bit, and it's basically how they had it easier than gay men. Like, just throughout, you know, they've always like been in lumped all together, but it's like lesbians, 95% of them can pass if they needed to, didn't have to like, weren't forced out of the closet when at a young age because people just knew.
Because if you were like kind of a masculine woman, it was just like,
go on, I'm listening.
Because if you're just like a masculine woman, I think that there's not that. I don't think even previous, I'm assuming that previous generations were probably more fixated on gay men being feminine.
Absolutely.
Like that was, I would say, to certain cultures, let's say like Arab culture, that was the one where you're like, get that fucking guy out of the goddamn streets. What the fuck is he doing in a dress?
Yeah.
Woman wearing pants is
yeah.
Just a woman wearing pants.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that only lesbians wear pants, but my point is that masculine traits on women.
I think that is a good thing to put out there. Only not, lesbians wear pants.
Only lesbians are the women. Yeah. If you're a woman and you wear like your yoga pants, you're lesbian.
But yeah, no, like every bit of. Not like legislation, but yeah, like legislation, like stuff that has helped gay communities and rallies and pride parades and stuff is all very much pushed by gay men and helped gay women, men and lesbians. But lesbians didn't have to, you know, they, I don't want to say took a back seat to it, because sure, they were out there fighting and stuff, but it was like, if they didn't want to have to be involved, and also like, fucking, you think about lesbian porn versus gay porn, people have been loving, both sides love lesbian porn for a long time, you know?
Yeah, everyone, more people are okay with women getting it on than men getting it on.
100%. Even it's women. Okay. Even women are okay with lesbians, but I know plenty of women that would like not fuck a bi dude. Wouldn't fuck anybody who'd fucked a dude already.
Yeah, dude, and that it is. I'm 100% straight, man. But the, like, I've seen that in those things where I would meet bi girls,
mm-hmm.
and they would be like, "Yeah, I'm bi, but if you had sex with a man, ugh."
Yeah, I know.
Right, but I mean, that's nothing wrong with that. Everyone's preference. Everyone has a preference. I don't think there's anything wrong with people's preferences, right?
Yeah, I mean,
right? when it comes to you thinking about you engaging in sex
with who you want to fuck, yeah, you
there's be definitely able to do... a preference.
Yeah,
I would prefer not to have sex with a trans woman.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that was a good one I heard the other day. I don't think this is fucking everybody, but somebody saying that if you're a woman who doesn't want to have sex with a trans woman, then like it's transphobic, and it's like, you figured out a way to rape. That's what you did.
Fucking rape loophole.
Yeah. But I'm not forcing it on you. You won't allow it to
happen.
You
won't allow it to happen. You're transphobic. And it's like, okay, I'll have sex with you. God.
Yeah. Yeah. Clever. Men are clever.
Dude. Man, some trans women make me go, bro, men are good at everything. Like, we are really good, man. I've seen some hot ass trans women, bro.
Well, that's the thing where you
and
realize,
then when I see them that they're not, and then I find out they're not a woman, I'm just, first off, I'm like, holy shit. Then I'm like, women, step it up. What the fuck?
Yeah. Or and you also realize, you go, yeah, that person, I can see how they had the feeling that they were a woman. They very much fit the part very well.
Yeah, yeah. There definitely is that, right? I just don't like this whole we're probably going to get ourselves fucking canceled for this shit. But
this is what, great, because I have a special coming out, a half-hour comedy special on YouTube on Friday at midnight called Chaos United. So check that out, and this is the last you'll ever hear of us.
Yeah, probably, man. But for real, though, you definitely should follow Andrew, man. He's known, you know, especially in the comedy community, somebody who's a really good writer, very smart, loves history. You like history. You really like delving into teaching us a little bit about history and then using that framework to try to make people laugh.
It's the only way of using
it. Make people laugh.
My degree's in history, and it's the only real way I've used it ever to fucking make money. I've never... The thing was useless except for the fact that I've gotten good bits out of it.
No shit.
Yeah. I've never had a job that needed...
Why did you go into history, man? Were you thinking about money when you went into history?
No.
Did you have parents? Are you Jewish?
No.
Do you have parents that were like, hey, you got to have a degree?
A little bit. They wanted me to go to college. I actually was the first person in my family to graduate college, and I don't know, they wanted me to go to college. They weren't real concerned with it. I wanted to be a pro skier, and so I did that right after high school, and then went after a couple of years, went back to school.
I was reading that you were a skier, a pro skier for a minute.
Yeah, that was my first dream. And then when I got injured and I realized I wasn't going to be competing anymore, and so I decided to go to school. Man, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was terrified. I hated school before, so I was like, fuck, I got to go to 4 more years of this. I just picked history because I liked it. Was the least boring thing to me, just reading stories and fucking learning about shit. And then I picked up theater in college, and I started performing, and then stand-up after that. And that's where I really liked that shit in college and doing theater and plays and stuff. But yeah, going in originally, I picked history because I was like, I don't know what to do. I was like really terrified of like, fuck, what the fuck am I going to do for the rest of my life? Because all of this shit seems boring. I did terrible in school. I wasn't looking forward to going to college, but then it turned out all right.
Yeah. I didn't like school, man. I fucking hated that shit, bro.
Yeah. It was so boring a lot of times. And it was either stuff, especially in like high school, I was either like math and shit. I knew really easy. Never really learned a lot. Never did try to do well. And then I'm extremely dyslexic, and spelling, reading, you know, English class and shit fucking sucked. It was always a struggle. I knew it was always going to be a struggle. So it was like, it was either this is not challenging at all, or I fucking hate this. That's what most of my classes were.
If you could do it again, would you finish college?
No, I wouldn't even go. Yeah. If I could do it again and I knew I wanted to do stand up, I would just start that.
No shit.
Yeah. Totally. I'm glad the things I learned in college and it got me into performing. But if I knew ahead of time that I, you know, it's way too much money for something that is pretty much worthless.
Yeah.
Did you go to college?
Half-assed a year, and then I joined the Marines.
Oh, nice. Yeah, usually people do it the other way. You go to the Marines to pay for college.
Bro, I joined the Marines to get away from my dad. I was like, me and him finally got into a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then he kicked me out, and then I joined the Marines.
Nice.
And then my best friend tried to talk me out of it.
Yeah.
And joined up with me.
Nice. Yeah. She's going to join the Israeli Defense Force for sure. I want to get that land in Israel. Yeah, she's half Jewish. Or, I mean, Jewish, I guess. Her mom's Jewish.
Well, no, she's 100% Jewish.
Yeah, so we're going to get that land over there. And as soon as she's, 18, 19, they'll take her.
Yeah. I'll be okay if you get that land, just so long as you raise a Palestinian flag.
I stand by Palestine. I am arming Israel as we speak.
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, bro. I haven't been watching the news recently, have you?
News? What do we fucking watch to actually get actually what's going on?
I'm completely out of the loop.
Rogan is about, there's that, and Jimmy Dore show. There's a couple that are actually good, but I don't fucking watch.
You listen to Rogan?
Listen to Rogan, yeah. Jimmy Dore.
I like Jimmy Dore too.
Matt Taibbi.
I don't listen to Matt Taibbi that often.
I do when they, I'll look through the stories and on each episode, what are they going to talk about? And if it's something I want to know more about, I'll listen to those ones.
That Crystal and Sagar thing I just started trying to listen to.
I've heard them on others, but I haven't listened.
That was pretty good. I listen to fitness podcasts, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Ben Greenfield.
I've heard of him. Yeah.
Yeah. He's like a human guinea pig. The guy goes out of his way to try to figure out how to optimize. His body with all kinds of stuff. He'll put electronics on him. He'll do all kinds of the latest science. And
has he done that stimulation shit?
He injected stem cells in his dick.
Ooh, nice. To make it bigger?
Can I say dick?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. You say cunt. You say, I don't care.
The baby, though. I'm kind of worried about the baby.
She doesn't speak. She doesn't know what words are yet. Mm. Do you? No, you don't. You don't.
She's so cute, bro. It's the first time we had a baby up in here. What's up, girl? She's chill, man.
Yeah, she's being pretty good. She was screaming, crying in the car right before we got here, and then as soon as I took her out, she just chilled right out.
That's great.
Oh, now she wants. See, now she's getting attention, so she's like, oh, I'll dance for you.
Yeah.
Oh. No.
Do you even try to stay topical with your with your shit? With your comedy, do you even try?
I do. When I think of bits, yeah, but I don't hold on to those bits. I try to do them and put them out. If they're good, record them and put them out, because I'm fucking, there's no sense in working on this for a year to put on something when a year later everybody's gonna forget about what that fucking shit is and if it's funny. I had a bit on Gabby Petito that I just did for 2 weeks, got pretty funny, and then I was I'm just gonna tape and put it out for everybody forgets who she is.
Yeah. So you don't even try? Most of your stuff you'll but you be doing jokes about history though. That's different, huh?
That's different because it's shit that is people know by this. I mean, I guess you could say there's you never know what? You never know what's gonna hang around and people are gonna remember, but the other thing about topical is that so many shows and other people are doing it that it's not even as funny now, but The Daily Show used to be, if it was anything topical, they would have the funniest take on it, when it was Jon Stewart. And so if you're going to do a joke on it, it has to be fucking funnier than any of those shows coming out.
Yeah.
And also get your word out on it or do it before people see that shit, because then they'll just be like, oh, I heard you do that bit, but The Daily Show, and you're like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But sure, whatever fucking comes to my head that's funny, I write down. I don't really have a set structure on what I do or don't talk about. It's just, I pretty much, right now, my writing is taking her for walks and writing in that time.
Just in your head, or?
Yeah.
And you then have a recorder on?
I have my phone. I'll just write it down in notes. I don't write anything out longhand. I'll just write bullet point notes.
You don't write anything?
No. I just write a sentence or two to remind
me. How do you know that you're doing it in the most efficient way possible? Do you know what I mean?
Repetition of going on stage with it. Just doing it a few times. If I think of an idea the first time, I'll go to stage and just say what I thought of, figure out where the funny parts are, and then try and do as little as possible to get to the funny parts the next few times on stage. So try and just cut everything out that you don't need and still get the laugh. And then once you have it slimmed down that much, then I'll see if I can add in shit to it.
Tags.
Yeah. So it's sure. Take an idea and try and slim it down to a one liner and then try and build it back up.
Yeah, bro. But you don't do it with writing. You do it just straight up memory.
Yeah, I just say it on stage.
That's amazing.
I'm dyslexic. Writing fucks it up for me. Like if I write shit out longhand, it doesn't sound like I talk. It just it muddies it up.
But the fact that you're able to still, I can't truncate my jokes until I have it all written out in front of me.
Oh yeah, no.
And I think because I'm just very visual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like it helps.
Can
I get you anything like a water?
No, I'm good.
I'm gonna get myself an energy. You want an energy drink?
Sure.
Bang.
Yeah. Sure.
Strawberry or Wilden watermelon?
Strawberry.
All right,
try that.
Let's see if I still have the strawberry. You haven't tried the strawberry yet?
I don't think I've had a bang at all ever. I've had many, many different energy drinks and energy supplements like cocaine and Adderall.
Yeah, that's very effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To me, I find like the way different people write really, really like I just find it fascinating, man. You know, like because whenever you do your jokes, you're never doing it. Sorry, guys, I'm filling up some water. I'm parched right now. I never see you doing your jokes inefficiently. It doesn't seem like it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's a lot of fat in the jokes. And to me, I'm just, like, amazed when there's, like, people like you that can, like, trim the fat out of their jokes without actually putting it on paper, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
But that's also a product of, like, I have always felt, even all through, half of what got me through all of school was class participation and speaking, because it was like on paper I looked retarded, and then in class I would speak and they'd be like, oh, he's one of the most well-spoken and participates in class the most, and between those two I would come out with like a C or B minus. So I've always felt like, just because of my dyslexia, that I needed to show that I wasn't as dumb as I looked on the page. And so speaking in that sense has always felt natural to me, like, you know, public speaking. But when I'm like thinking of jokes and or coming up with something, I will do that in my head of like, what is the best way to get to this punchline, the most clever way, or like, you know, with a word phrasing, like if the punchline has this word in it, I'll try not to use that word in the setup, but I'll just think through it in my head. And then when I finally get it figured out, I'll go up and say that and see if that works. But so I do think about like the structure of it a lot, but I just do it in my head.
And do you say that new setup the same way? Sorry,
every
guys,
time.
I'm just nerding out on stand up right now because when it comes to like Andrew, I really respect your writing. I think your writing is really
thank you, sir.
It's really good, man. It's very smart, you know.
Do I say it like the same way every time? You mean?
So you finally figure out the setup and you finally, so let's just talk about setup, say.
Yeah.
Sometimes the setup, when you first start off, you realize that's the first thing you need to start hacking at, right? That's for me at least. Sometimes I find out like, I'll get this funny thing and I'm like, I'm taking too long to get to that laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm being too wordy with my setup. How do I say that in the most efficient way? So to me, it's like, I got to slash that shit down.
Yeah.
Right? There's a quicker way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you can add for me, just body language could say the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? For me, I'll write down that setup and I keep working on it and working. I'll write it and I'll try different ways and I'll copy and paste another one and make it a different one, then copy and paste. Then now I have all these different versions of the setup that kind of give me an idea of like, okay, these are very efficient ways of doing it, but then if I say it this way, it kind of changes.
Yeah.
But if I say it this way, then it really changes the way, it gives a different inflection. But when I figure out what it is, I try to write it down so that I know this is the fastest route to that joke. And I don't necessarily have to say it exactly the same way. But because I've trained my brain from physically seeing it in the most efficient way, that's how I'm able to do. Otherwise, I get long-winded.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll get to I'll do that. Just do it on stage, pretty much. Try it different ways.
And you'll remember it.
Once I get to the one that works best, yeah, I can just, then it just goes in the act like that. And if you watch me after I like get a joke down to what I want, watch me after that. It'll look like it's written out. I'll say it verbatim pretty much.
Really?
Every time, yeah. And then occasionally, especially with stories, I will get it down to like pretty exact story. Here's where the punchlines are. Almost say it word for word the exact same way every time. And then sometimes just to try and get something new, I will try and take this story that I have like very polished and try and fuck it up on stage and try and like say this part before this part and see how it changes the structure of it. And then maybe I find something new out of it, because like I found just to like stay fresh with stuff. And so it doesn't get stale saying it over and over again. I'll try and like take this story that I've been doing for a year and be like, well, can I fuck this up? Is there more to add to here? Or does it fit in with something else in the act that I can bring in? But you don't really notice until you like, I don't know, get really high and go up, or drunk and go up, or just like accidentally start the story halfway through and then see if you can fucking still get it all out or if the information is there.
I think the thing that really opened me up, man, and this is one of the best pieces of advice I got from a comic that I was on the road. You know, he just happened to be headlining the Loony Bin, Jeff Shaw, and he's an older comic, and you know, he's been in the game for a while. That's all he does. That's how he makes his money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight up hustler. I mean, like while he was headlining at Loony Bin, this was like in the middle of the pandemic, he was like doing maybe fucking 8 corporate Zoom shows in the room.
Oof.
He just raking in that money, man.
Yeah.
You know, just a real, real, just straight up comic. And I remember I was just like, we were talking and I was like, man, I can't wait till I get to an hour of material. He goes, how much material you got right now? I go, you see it. That's it. About 30 minutes, man. And he goes, oh, you got an hour. Just add a minute to every minute.
Yeah.
And that fuck,
blew your mind.
Blew my mind, bro. It was the thing that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Because he was like, so many young comics get caught up in this idea that they have to write new material. Another 30 minutes of new material. Like, no, a lot of the times you can expand the material you have.
Yeah.
And that changed everything, man. And yeah, I remember definitely. I added act outs. I ended up like accidentally, like you were talking about messing around on stage. You get on the road for a while and then you get so loose, you start really trying different things. And then, boom, I created a 1 minute act out just off the cuff. And now I got an extra minute to this bit, which is just fascinating to me, man. You know, especially when you, do exactly what you said, and that is, you know, leave room to mess around, you know, to find those nuggets of gold. What's up, girl? You trying to get on the podcast?
Oh yeah.
We should get her some headphones. Put the sunglasses on her. Oh yeah. Maybe,
headphones would probably freak her out.
Look at that, guys! First, first ever baby. First ever baby on the podcast, man.
Yeah, I'll do with stories sometimes too. Like I have a story about hitchhiking, or about knowing a guy who killed a guy. And so I'll ask the audience going into it, I'll be like, anybody ever hitchhiked here before? And that, I mean, it is like crowd work, and it's like, it's also like not... It is a little cheating because you're like, I know I have this story to go into once you tell your story. But usually asking somebody if they know a murderer, if they've hitchhiked before, you'll get some good shit out of the audience that either you can riff on and add time to that night, or it's something good enough that you're like, ooh, that's going in the act. Somebody told me like I'm, you know, like you met a murderer or something. I don't know if I've had that happen yet. They usually don't want to admit it.
Okay, hold on a second. This is great. This is great. You're teaching me stuff right here. So basically, you have these type of devices to extract information from the audience to keep crowd work going?
A little bit. I mean, it's like, it just like pulls them in. And like, I have a story about a murderer, and I ask, does anybody here know a murderer? And anybody who says yes, I'm like, all right, what happened?
You hone in on them and you ask them.
What's the murder? Yeah. Where... And for whatever reason, when you do it in that way, people are more willing to like say it, because it's one, it's like, I have a story to come. So whatever your story is, I'll match you with, you're not just revealing something. And usually it's not them, or it's not a crazy story. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like my mom got murdered. That's not fun for a comedy show.
What happens when you come across someone who's like, yeah, my mom was murdered. You go, okay, next person.
I think I'd say, yeah, I'd just be like, I don't know why you'd tell any of us
or
that.
Or just be like, that was a mistake.
Yeah, they, there hasn't been anything too crazy. There was one.
But
was,
that's pretty cool. So basically, like, let's say you have a story about something. You will probably even ask the audience to see if anybody's got a story. Have them tell your story and try to use some crowd work to make the crowd laugh with that thing, and then lead into your story.
Yeah, and then by the time they've done that, they've forgotten that you brought this shit up in the first place, and it just looks like, oh, what you said about that reminds me of this thing, and it's like, well, no, that was the whole point in the first place. Otherwise, you were just going to tell this story anyway. But it kind of, you know, crowds are dumb and they easily manipulate.
Crowds are dumb. Is that how you look at the crowds? They're dumb.
As a whole, yeah, I think they're, as a whole, I think crowds are not as intelligent as individuals within the crowd. I think crowds kind of act dumb and, in certain ways, like, I don't know, they're just, you're easily fooled when you're part of a crowd to go along with stuff.
Sure.
Where if you were,
I agree,
just individually there, yeah, you wouldn't necessarily.
I just wanted to know what you would have to say, but I agree.
Yeah.
There's that saying, a person is smart, people are stupid.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah.
No.
I still try to, like, think of them as being smart so that I don't, like, do hack shit.
Yeah, in that sense, yeah. But I would,
you know,
I also just do that in the sense of, like, what would I find hacky? Like, I don't want to do smart for yourself, you know what I mean? Like, you think of the crowd or people in the crowd are going to be just as intelligent as you are. You hope some aren't, but yeah, I don't know. For some people, some comics, I don't get how they do not realize what is fucking hacky as fuck. When they're I'm like, have you not watched any stand up and you're going to tell some joke about like something that I don't know what topic, but like, okay, good one here. The Bible, a take on the Bible or on God or shit in the Bible.
Okay.
Some of the ones that I hear, I've heard several people in the past few months do jokes having to do something with the Bible that are so generic and shit that I'm like, the Bible's been around for what, 1,000 years or so?
And it's, 2,000 plus.
Well, in its modern form, like the King James, right. Maybe. You don't think somebody said that shit about the Bible already? Like, you know how unique and like, you know.
So you're saying Bible jokes are done?
Unless you got something really that, you know, you really think somebody hasn't heard before. Yeah, even if I think a shit about like God or the Bible, I just figure somebody's probably had that take before on it.
Hmm.
How about you?
Yeah, I guess if you're talking about the Bible, if your joke is about the Bible,
or like,
sometimes you can have a good tag that will have the Bible in it that may fit the theme of what you're saying.
Yeah, totally.
Which could spin you off into another joke.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying like nobody, but it'll be like, you know, Noah's Ark. But, and you're just like, you got a hot new take on Noah's Ark? This better be really good.
To me, that's funny, man. I don't know. But here's the thing, though. Hacky to who? So here's the thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of like, the times the crowds don't know what is hack. If they're not in.
Not only that, like, what if it's like, you know, it's hacky to a 40-year-old, but it's not hacky to a 25-year-old because they've never heard that reference before, or they don't even know anything.
Yeah, totally.
It'd be really nice if there was like a website to where it could just be like, it's like that, it's been done before.com, where you could just literally be like, all right, so I'm about to do this joke about the Bible. It's like, bam, done.
There is
Bartholomew Buford attempted this joke in 1865 in Mississippi and got hung for it.
I would love if they had that, because there are times when I think of a premise or a joke and I'm like, I would just wish there was a... I'll usually just Google joke, blah, 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 just to see if anything pops up right away to make sure, like, did I think of this or did I hear this somewhere? So sometimes jokes come to your head so easily and you're like, I had to have fucking heard that.
I know. I'd be doing that too, and I'll be researching and I can't find it, but then I still am like...
You're uneasy about it. You go and say it on stage and you're like...
And I'm just like, has this been done before yet, bro?
Well, it was one recently that... Well, this one is one of my favorites to tell because it just like people, it fools people. Is
what's her name?
Wild.
Wild.
Yeah.
What up, Wild?
Say hello. Say hello to Mike.
Hey, girl. You're the first baby on the podcast.
Awesome.
Ladies first. Taking down the patriarchy. All right. This joke that it just kind of came to me all like, I didn't really have to work it out. I was just like, boom, that's theirs. That I think there should be a woman president. If anything, Donald Trump being president for 4 years, if that's proved anything, it's that if he can do it, one of you dumb broads can do it too. And I love it because the first half of it, women are so on board and they're like, yes, there should be a woman president. And you're just going in the back of your head. You're like, yeah, I cannot wait for you to hear the end of this. But that was one of those things that it just like I thought of and I was like, Dad, God, that came too easy. I got to make sure that that's not a joke out there. But I didn't find anything. So I started telling it on stage. But yeah, things like that where it just comes or like a
I appreciate when a comic can come up to me and be like, hey, man, that joke's done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I prefer it. Yeah.
I appreciate that because then it saves me.
Yeah.
You know?
From looking like a fucking idiot in a
yeah, in you know Vincent O'Shana?
I don't think so.
He's like a Middle Eastern comic. Really funny, man. Mm-hmm. Really, really funny. He's out here in the Hollywood area. And yeah, you know Johnny Mitchell?
Yeah.
So Johnny Mitchell told me, so like I remember I was talking to Paul Elia, and we were hanging out at this like we were taking acting classes at one time, the same acting class. And we were just talking about riffing, and then I started riffing about, like, you know, going into, you know, actually if I did have to go to war in the Middle East and then busting down a door and then finding my uncle, you know, and then like we started riffing on it and I was like, yeah, you know, I'm going to try to fucking do that. So I started doing that on stage, seemed fun. And then Johnny Mitchell was like, hey, dude, Vincent O'Shaughnessy already did that. I go, really? He was like, yeah. But his joke was, he's out in the Middle East, bust down a door, it's a family's home, and then there's a picture of him, like, which is hilarious, which is even more funny, you know? But yeah, so those are one of those things where I'm glad because the guy's in very close vicinity. Like, we work in the same area and shit. Oh, yeah. I can't be just going to the Laugh Factory doing that fucking joke.
Yeah.
And then, like, some people are just going to think, oh, you're fucking just stealing Vincent O'Shaughnessy jokes?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and there are a lot of comedians who are petty and wouldn't say anything and then would just talk about you behind your back.
Yeah. Has anybody talked about me behind your back, my back?
Not that I've heard. I also don't. I don't really hang out with a lot of petty people or gossipy people. I try not to.
I don't gossip much, bro. I don't at all.
Yeah, really. The people I hang out with will usually, I try to stick with people who just make fun of you straight to your face.
Yeah.
I prefer that.
Yeah.
People who
yeah,
are really, or if they don't like somebody, they don't talk to them. They don't go like, yeah, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah,
and then
yeah,
they
yeah,
walk
yeah,
away
yeah,
and they're like, I don't like that person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
how the
yeah,
fuck
yeah,
did you talk to them then?
Yes. Yes. There's a lot of that bullshit out here, man.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, you okay?
Oh. You know what I'm bad at? Remembering names.
Oh, terrible.
You too?
Takes me a while.
Takes me a while. Yeah. I got to see you many times, kind of like a, yeah, she's trying to get on the podcast.
Yep.
Hey, Wild, what you got something to say? Okay, and what do you think about that?
Huh? Goo.
Okay, yeah, she's like, you know what, I'm done.
Typical female point of view.
Yeah.
Oh, put that back in, jeez.
Need help with that, buddy? No, I got it. You got it? Yay, yay. I can't believe it. Hey, does anybody got a question for the baby?
Yeah, we'll take any baby questions.
Yeah, let's take some questions, man. I'm trying to get a phone number. I got a phone number, but I'm trying to figure out how to get it connected to the thing.
Oh, to do it live.
Actually, take calls live. I think that would be great, you know? Dude, are you going to have more kids?
Great question. I don't know. I mean, now that we've had one, we can see. I could have at least another kid. But it's also like just right now, just get through. I would wait at least 2 years. Just get through a couple of years.
Don't wait too long, man, because you don't want them to be too far apart in age.
No, yeah. Totally. My,
I hated my sister growing up.
My brothers were 5 and 9 years older than me.
Tammy Wiles asks, how old is she?
She is 7 months. She just turned 7 months on the 8th.
You know what's funny, guys, is he texted me. He's like, oh, the daughter's coming with me, just letting you know. And I was like, okay. And I didn't even ask how old she was. I even thought it was a boy. I just assumed. I misgendered her. And I pull up a chair and a microphone and a headset. And he's like, she's 7 months old. I'm like, okay.
And she just got her first tooth in today. Jason. Or yesterday. She's very, very proud of that.
Jay's Bacon. Wild, are you pooping enough to freak your dad out or make him jealous?
No, the poops are, they've been all right.
What kind of fucking question is this, bro?
Why
did I read that?
They're just starting to get real solid. When they're at first, it's like, it's just fucking muddy water.
What? Yeah. My boy from the Marine Corps, Bolty, he said, my parents waited 5 years between me and my brother. It was 6 years between me and my sister, man. And I hated her, bro. I don't know how you guys were, Bolty, but bro, I couldn't stand my sister, man. I would have visions of, like, murdering her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we hated each other, man. Oh, yeah. She was always politicking and scheming, you know?
I'm going to do this real quick.
She always found ways to, like, get my dad to beat the shit out of me.
Yeah, I had two older brothers. They beat the shit out of me all the time.
Yeah, where you going, bro?
I'm just grabbing that bottle.
Oh, okay. If you need help with anything, bro, please let me know. Hey, guys, I like the fact that we have girls in here now. This makes me happy, bro. I don't like this Yusuf Alawi guy, man. It's not, it's too many Arabs already in this thing. And there's already one Arab. That's enough, bro. He says, when are we going to see a little Mike from Detroit? What do you mean, see a little Mike from Detroit? How are you talking about, bro? Oh, a little Mike from Detroit? Hell no, man. I'm done, bro. He's asking him, when am I going to have my own kid? I'm like, I'm done. Oh. I'm done, dude. I'm not having kids, man. I was going to do it, you know, and I just think it's a young man's game.
How old are you?
And 40 fucking five, bro.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I did not realize. Yeah, I'm 30. I'll be 37 on Friday.
Yeah, 37 I can still see. 40 I can still see.
Yeah.
But pushing 46, bro, I think it's time to hang it up, man. I don't want to be that old dad.
I always think, how old will you be when they're 20? And if that number is too off, then you're like,
man. Exactly. 65 when they're 20?
That's
I mean, I plan on being a healthy 65.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Just, I don't know, man. So, to be honest, I never really wanted kids that much anyway.
Yeah.
But I was always open to it.
Yeah.
I was always like, if I did meet a woman that made me go, hey, we should have children, then I would totally do it. I've always kept it open, but.
I'm getting a bottle going. Yeah, I, hey, don't eat that. I never had a feeling one way or the other, really. Like, I wasn't against it, but I didn't have, like, the, I really, really want kids, and then met my wife, and eventually she did really want kids, and so I was like, I'm not against it, let's try it. And but now she's awesome. I'm glad.
She's a good kid, man.
She's not bad.
She looks like she's about to flip a table, but you know, she's about like any minute she's like, if something doesn't entertain me. Man,
yeah. Sometimes she's been pretty good, pretty funny, but the sleeping's been a little rough here and there. She likes to wake up multiple times a night. We got to do sleep training.
Oh, man.
Which is real fun. I fucking don't wake up.
You don't?
I can't. I just don't. I go to one, it's because I, like, you know, wake up at 6:30 in the morning for her, between 6 and 6:30. And then taking care of her all day and then going out and doing sets. Sometimes I won't go to sleep until like 1 or 2 in the morning. And by that time, when I fall asleep, I know. When I fall asleep, I'm just fucking dead asleep. My wife wakes up all the time and she's like, I'll shake you. You don't even wake up at all. I'm like,
you're so lucky, bro. That doesn't happen to me, man.
You're a light sleeper?
Yeah. I was never like that, but just recently, now that I'm in my 40s, there's like weirdness, like if my sleep is disrupted, I may be fucked. I may not be able to go back to bed.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, you know? I don't have that at all. I'm just so tired every day. Once I hit the pillow, I'm fucking out.
I used to be like a very efficient sleeper, but yeah, another thing is, man, I also got this like weird neck issue now with a compressed disc, and it's like if I sleep on it wrong, it just shoots like hot flame pain down my arm, and it wakes me up in the middle of the night.
That's fun.
And I'm figuring it out.
Yeah,
I'm figuring it, and a lot of it is diet, and I hate it. I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate the fact that when I stop eating ice cream, it's like, okay, I'm like, fuck, man. I was hoping it was gonna be something else, you know, like all I had to do was stretch it.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the sugar can cause, or carbs in general, cause inflammation. That can be a big part of it.
That is a big part of it, bro. I'm feeling it.
Let everybody know. Speak your truth.
Come on, girl. Sing to us.
Woo.
Yay, yay. So you're dropping it on YouTube, your album.
On YouTube,
your special.
A shot to...
Are you taking the audio and putting it on, you know, everything that where you can get the audio to?
Yeah.
You might as well,
I'll do that after. I might put out... So I filmed an hour, and I'm just cutting it down to a 30-minute special. Just putting out myself on YouTube. Shot it at Accidental Chaos on the Idiots United show. So I'm calling it Chaos United. And it was more, it came out really great, but it was not so much like, I have this half hour of jokes that are super polished and that I really want to put out. It was, that show is wild and crazy.
Yes, you.
There's like a band that plays, the room is packed and just kind of like ruckus the whole time. And so I wanted to capture that and show like, hey, this is, you know, stand up a lot of times is what you see on like Comedy Central or HBO or something. Like, that's not how most shows are. And they're not perfect, you know, perfectly shot in theaters where you say your punchlines and everybody laughs and you get through it perfectly. Most of the time, it's in fucking dark clubs or alleyways or, you know, underground places, and it can be fun or crazy or shitty. But so I want to capture something like that. And it came out great in that sense of just like capturing a wild night there. I'm psyched about it. And the stuff that I got on it, as far as bits, I'm really happy with.
Yeah?
That's good, man. And you only shot like one show? You didn't like try to shoot multiples?
Just one show, two cameras. It's nothing.
Did you tie into the sound?
Nope. That was the one thing I fucked up on it, but it... I had...
Man, I wish you would have talked to me. I could have helped.
Well, I knew. I just forgot. I have one of these, and I forgot to bring it to hook up to the board. So I did sound with my phone, and then both cameras got sound. So I have a mix between the three of them. So it sounds... You can hear everything perfectly fine. It's just a little more sounding like you're in the room
I know.
To straight to the board.
Yeah. Wah-bah-bah. Yeah. When I started like doing stand up, I started realizing, because I'm a filmmaker, so I love like quality video. But then I realized when it comes to stand up, what really matters most, if you have to choose, I'd go quality audio first.
Yeah.
Way first.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Just put your phone back there, and the way I did it is I made sure I loved myself.
Oh yeah.
And then I would mic the audience too.
So that's where you, rather than get it off the board, you just do a live mic on.
So I have two ways to do it. If I really want to do it right, I tie into the system, and then I actually bring XLR shotgun mics.
Yeah,
and I one here on the stage and facing the audience to catch a stereo of the audience.
Yeah.
That's typically what I do if I go to a club. But then my quick setups is I have a wireless system where I just put a wireless lav on me.
Yeah.
And then the other wireless thing is got a shotgun mic facing the audience.
Oh, nice.
And typically that one's really light and I can clip it anywhere. Just clip it.
Yeah.
Face it towards the audience. That's just – and I'm still trying to figure it out. So I got a run and gun audio setup and I got the real legit tie into the system setup.
Yeah.
And if you need any help in terms of like suggestions of what to get, man, I'd be more than happy to help out. And if you need even like if you're going to film something again, man, you know what I'm saying?
Hopefully.
Hit me up, dude, because I wouldn't mind helping you with the audio. It's not that hard.
Hell yeah.
I
definitely will.
You know, because if you had a Zoom and then you brought whatever mics you had and then plus whatever mics I have plus the wireless mics that I have.
Yeah.
Pretty sure we can get a real good. Real good audio of the crowd, man.
Oh yeah,
which is everything, really.
Yeah, get in the crowd. Make sure you hear yourself. Yeah, and then video. The thing that they always fuck up, or not fuck up, but they like no comic wants it. Maybe they use it for like to be able to cut between shots, but like shots of the audience, nobody really fucking cares about that shit.
I say if you're going to be filming your special, you better have cameras on the audience too. And I say the best way to do it is to shoot 4K.
Oh, I think she's making fun of you.
Oh, yeah? You don't think my strategy is good, huh?
Tell him.
You're just laughing at my strategy to film a special? You think your dad did it better with no microphones, huh? Huh? You playing favorites. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so now you mesmerized. Now you ready to be quiet. You just happy that you part of the conversation now, huh?
But yeah, like the only thing I've liked where they show shots of the. I get why they do it.
Patrice O'Neill's Elephant in the Room, the best special as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
One of the best specials. I'm sure there's other specials that I probably haven't watched that beat that because I'm not like caught up on my specials.
Yeah.
But I talk to anyone, and everyone will at least agree, top five all-time specials.
Oh, for sure.
It feels like you're there, bro.
Yeah.
And the shots of the audience with his reactions and talking to them and stuff made you really feel like you were there. So I disagree about the audience.
When you're talking to somebody in the audience, yes. Also, in Chappelle's, a couple of his, the only shots they did of the audience were somebody not liking his joke. It never would cut to, like, he tells a joke, cut to... What I hate is, like, white guy tells a joke about black people, cut to black people laughing at the joke, because it's like...
I never pay attention to that because I'm not white, but is that a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing that you notice?
Oh, yeah.
It's like it's like a way to sell the, hey, it's okay, guys. It's okay.
Look, one of them is laughing.
Yeah, one of them is laughing.
Yeah, they'll Comedy Central will do that.
One of these is laughing, y'all.
But Chappelle did it in a couple of his where he'd tell a joke and it would cut to a person not liking it. And it was funny.
That's, yeah, yeah.
But they'll do it a lot for like continuity to be able to like switch between, you know, if it
different nights.
Different nights, yeah. They tape.
And sometimes they get really lazy and they fuck it up. I think it was a Jerry Seinfeld special.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Seinfeld special, one of the ones that he put up on Netflix. The audience changes. They have the same wide shot from behind him. It's kind of an angled wide shot where you can see the front row, and you can see the faces in the crowd.
Yeah.
And then they would cut to his joke, right? And then they would cut, and then there's a black dude in the front row and whatever. And then cut back, and then now that's another white dude. And I'm just like, guys, pick a crowd.
It was the same
pick
thing
which
with
crowd.
With Elephant in the Room because he opens with saying,
what?
Yo, yeah?
The white woman.
No, the woman with the big tits. He's like, I'd like to thank for the
titties. Audience coordinator for putting these titties in the front row. Yeah. I love that. That one was the best. Which one was I was just thinking about one right now. It just slipped my mind I was going to bring up. Pertains to what we were just talking about. Fuck, I forgot. It just slipped my mind. I was thinking about a bunch of different things. Oh, I'm in Chappelle's special.
Oh, nice.
You know, the one that they did in the belly room?
Oh, yeah.
Three years ago?
Yeah.
I'm the one that answers the question, what's a bottom bitch?
Oh, nice.
And then he puts the microphone up to me, and then I say, yeah, bottom bitch is a pimp's number one prostitute. It's the prostitute that brings him the most money.
Yeah.
And he goes, are you black? which was fucking hilarious. And my friend Azar Usman, who's a comedian, we were doing stand up in Palestine, and he's good friends with Dave Chappelle. And I told him that, and he's like, "Dude, you need to put that as a testimonial."
Oh,
so like when you put it like on
Dave
your
Chappelle asked your thing, if
yeah,
I'm black.
Yeah. Dave Chappelle, are you black? I got something. Joey Diaz, man. First time I met Joey Diaz in the kitchen at Flappers. We were on the same show, and I had to get a picture with him and everything. And then Lee Syatt was there, and Joey's like, Joey looks at me and he's like, "Hey, dog. So what are you? Dominican, Puerto Rican?" And I was like, "Nah, man. I'm Arab. My family's from Yemen." And he goes, "That's a great disguise, dog." Fucking love Joey Diaz, man.
First time I met him, I was at Laugh Boston.
Yeah, we're warming that up for you. Don't worry.
You're warming it up?
I just have it in my pocket.
Oh, what is it?
Milk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Look at you, man. Daddy of the year, bro.
I know how to keep her tame. Yeah, I was at Laugh Boston. I wasn't on the show, but I had ridden my bike there, and I had my bike helmet and backpack. And I usually worked the club, and so I went to go to green room to put my backpack back there so I didn't have to walk around with it. And I open it up thinking there's nobody in there, and he's the only one in there. And I was like, "Oh, hey, sorry, man. I'm a comic. Just going to leave my backpack here so I don't have to walk around with it." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, you a comic? You on the show?" And I was like, "No, I'm not." And he goes, "Look, no problem. I don't fucking know you." He goes, I got no problem with you, but you're not leaving anything in this green room. I don't fucking know you." And I was like, "Touche, enough said. All right."
That's, you know what's so funny about that is that because if you know Joey Diaz's background, you know, from being a criminal and everything, yeah, man, of course he would think that.
Yeah.
He's like, "I'm not being in a room where somebody I don't know just left something here."
That or like they're going to be coming back in here. Like I get it now. The more road shit I've done is like sometimes like the green room is the only personal space you have for the like whole fucking day.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, Jason brought this up. He was like, shoot 4K and use the size to make angles from one shot. Yeah, it's true. So, like, did you shoot in 4K?
Yeah. So, one of the cameras was, and the other one was not.
But, okay.
So, I kind of had to dumb down the shot from the good camera to match the
But you
other
know,
camera.
If you edit 4K in a 1080 timeline, you're able to zoom in four times.
Oh, yeah, no.
So depending on your framing, you may have four different cameras. Does that make sense? So let's say you had a 4K camera facing the audience, let's just say.
You
had one. Let's say you got like an iPhone, right? And it was lit enough where you could see people's faces. Let's say you hung it up a little bit, like kind of like almost like it was like a crane shot.
Yeah.
And it's like facing down. You can really see everybody's faces in 4K, right?
Yeah.
That wide shot in 4K that you have now, if you put it into a 1080 timeline, you can zoom in four times without losing any resolution.
Yeah.
So now
you cut it up and you can use like that spot.
So now you literally can be like, okay, I'm going to zoom in on this person here.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to fucking cut and I'm going to zoom to this person here, zoom this person there or this area. And that's the beautiful thing about being able to shoot 4K, man. You know, and that's, I think if I end up shooting something, man, I'm going to do it that way. I'm going to do a three camera setup, you know, one in the center where at least someone mans that one.
Mm-hmm.
And that one is like following.
She's very opinionated.
Well, I disagree. I think the three cameras, one person running the camera, if, at least in the middle. And then you have other cameras on the side, left and right. So you get the different angles shot in 4K, edited in 1080.
What
okay.
do you think, Wild? Your right. response, Wild.
Hold on. And then at least one camera facing the audience. Maybe something like an iPhone
See,
in wide
mode. Audience shots too.
You don't have to put it in the editing. It's just good to have it there. What happens if you do crowd work with someone in the audience?
It's true. No, you know? No, those are times when I do agree it could be shown. It's more just the obligatory, whatever that word is, cutaway to people laughing when it's like, I don't get. I mean, other than like, yeah, having to change between nights, but you'll see on like Comedy Central shit, they'll do it all the time. Like, always just cut to people, and it's like we can hear them laughing. We know people are laughing.
Yeah,
we
but
don't
sometimes
need to see
seeing
people laughing.
Them laughing, it makes it amazing. Because I think like some of the shit that they did with the cutting away during Patrice O'Neill's Elephant in the Room really, really made just it was good because they. He was so funny, you didn't need the shot of the audience laughing.
Yeah.
Because you were already fucking laughing. But then when they cut to someone laughing just as hard as you, I thought it made it even better.
Yeah.
You know.
I agree.
There we go. But that's amazing, though, man. You shot it and you're putting it up. Did you do any new material on this? Is it like, did you...
It's all shit that's been from the past year, maybe. Got some stuff about her in there.
Is this any stuff that you would consider burned, putting it up on there? Meaning you're not going to do it on the road anymore or whatever?
Depends on
how many views?
Yeah, how big it gets.
Sure.
How popular it is. If I, you know, like I have an album on there that's just audio with the album cover, but it's you can get it on YouTube and also anywhere you get podcasts. I just put it up as a podcast.
You put your album up as a podcast?
It's just a solo episode of, you know, its own podcast, but that way it's on the podcast feed, so it's free to anybody to get rather than... I more want people to hear my shit than I necessarily want to make money off of fucking selling an album. I just want people
right
to hear the album.
Right.
Yeah. And so
I want both.
I put it up on YouTube. It's on my YouTube channel right now. And that's, it's like, I don't know, 48, 57 minutes, something like that. What was the point of that? Oh, that has like 1,100 listens. The stuff on that is pretty old, so I probably wouldn't do it anyway. But at the same time, I go, like, if I'm in fucking Colorado, I can pretty safely assume probably nobody's heard that here.
Yeah.
You've been very squeaky.
How many years have you been doing it now, Andrew?
10 years. Hit 10 years in August.
Damn. Yeah. 10 years full steam?
Full steam ahead, yeah. As soon as I started, I was like, 5 days a week. I got to get on stage 5 times a week. And that was starting in Maine, which meant I had to go to New Hampshire and Boston at least each once a week just to get enough stage time because there was like...
So this is 10 years like really pushing it.
Yeah.
Damn. So would you say you were in total 10 years or were you in more longer and just 10 years full steam?
No, just 10 years. As soon as I started, I went full steam and because I was already doing theater. I knew I liked performing. And then I tried stand-up for the first time. I was like, this is way better. This is what I like about performing.
Yeah. We feel you.
So I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it like full charge. And I was doing a play at the time. I finished that play. I never did another play. Immediately started doing, I got to get on stage 5 times a week. Then after about a year and a half to 2 years, moved to Boston for stand-up and then was there for about 5 years. And then lived in a bus and toured the country for a year, doing stand-up everywhere, and then moved here like 3.5 years ago.
Do you think you're at a level now where you could drop a special like that every year?
I mean, I could do a half hour every year for sure. I could probably do an hour. But I don't necessarily like that. I like every 2 years or so. The album I recorded in 2016. And so this is the first thing other than just putting clips online of just shows and stuff that I've put a full thing together.
I'm trying to figure out the business, man, before I start putting it out there. Do I go with the record label, have them take 50% and have them do all the legwork of getting it up there and out there and getting it on Sirius Radio? Or do I just do it myself and pocket all that money?
You got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Half the record labels don't even know what is more important, what's like good to do. And like with the money on Spotify and stuff, especially if it's just audio, Spotify and SiriusXM and stuff, like there's pretty good money out there to be got from them playing your clips that you would rather just get that yourself than have label take a percentage or even fucking who knows. They might get all of that.
Because I really do think, man, it's not that hard to film a special, and it really wouldn't be that expensive, especially if you produced it yourself, you know? For real, though.
Yeah, you I really don't think a lot of the setup.
I mean, it's different if you're doing like one of those theaters. You know, let's say you're doing a theater. That's a different story.
Yeah.
But man, if you're doing like a regular size club, man, I just don't see why you would need to be pumping all that money. I heard Titus was on Joe Rogan years ago and talked about how he produced his own. And it was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And he said that it cost him at that time $15,000 to produce his own
special,
legit special, you know. And this is him like doing the research on what type of cameras to get and, you know, rent and all that stuff. And he said that once he figured it out, man, it was practically nothing, bro.
We're going to get the bottle ready.
You got to get going. Is she getting restless?
No, we're going to give her a bottle and see how that does. She shouldn't need a nap for another hour or two.
Oh, you're saying that like if she needs a nap, like we would wake her up from talking?
And she just wouldn't be able to fall asleep right now. She needs to go for a walk or be in her...
Stimulated.
Nursery, being...
shaking and stuff. So cute. And I think you know it.
Oh, yeah, she very much. She is very aware, and she's about to go meet the grandparents again. She hasn't met them since she was about a month old, and so she is ready to really show off for them and be super cute.
Can you rap?
No.
Do you want to rap?
No. No, I don't try. I can sing.
You can sing over a beat.
Okay, yeah, play a beat.
Well, there's a segment that I do called Trash Bars.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I think I can't call it Trash Bars because I think Jamel Dotson is the one that created the term. But Brandon Bricks, he told Brandon Bricks, and Brandon Bricks kind of coined it on here when we did it on accident. And that is, I play the live feed of this, which has a 15-second delay. One of us lays a beat, a beatbox beat.
Yeah.
For about 30 seconds. And then we replay the feed.
Okay. And rap over it.
So basically I'll lay the beat.
Okay.
And then you rap over my beat.
Okay.
And then you lay a beat and I rap over your beat.
See what we can make happen.
You down with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Because I suck at it, so don't even think that I'm good. Ah, fuck, I'm terrible, bro. Handrin over here being a dad.
Making that milk.
Being a dad of a lifetime. Look at this guy. Crushing funny comedian, dropping specials, dropping loads.
So I did. I
making babies.
This is a little. It's like, oh, just, you know, spilled a little milk. I'll wipe it up. But then I did realize, I was like, oh, yeah, this is my wife's titty milk that I just spilled on your
titty. Oh, no, that's her titty milk? Bro, can I get some? Because titty milk is supposed to be very anabolic.
Yeah.
Like, it's supposed to be good for bodybuilding, too.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Because it's got, like, all these growth factors in it and shit. Titty milk. What you know about the titty milk, y'all? Titty milk. Titty milk. Everybody loves fucking titty milk.
You just gotta get it to melt, that's all.
You just gotta get it to milk, especially the small ones. The small ones give you a hard time.
Warm it up for you.
Warm it up, Chris.
She's looking at it like, what? When am I going to get that? Just give it to me.
For real, bro. Now I kind of wish I had a baby cam.
Little thing on her.
You done, huh, girl?
She sees this and she's like, I'm waiting.
So are you basically a stay-at-home dad right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, not stay at home in the sense of, like, I work at night doing stand-up, but, yeah, I watch her Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 when my wife works, and then she gets off work, and I hand her over to her, and I go doing shows.
Well,
and
yeah.
That's her life.
You guys found the balance.
For now, yeah, we'll see. Part of it is that... I mean, it works. That balance works. My wife's working from home, so it makes it a little easier. That, like, if she ever needs to breastfeed or anything, she can just kind of do it there. I have never had a day job that pays more money than daycare would cost in LA.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Wow, bro.
To do like 40 hours a week of daycare. And I've never...
Even if you like hired someone to come to the house?
Yeah, because like I've never made fucking $20 an hour. And that's what you got to...
That's why I like living in ethnic neighborhoods, bro.
Oh, yeah, you can get one of them.
You can like find someone like, you know, in Dearborn, Michigan, where my mom is, you know, my mom ended up having like really like major like health problems.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost lost her, but she got it together. Somewhat, but she shouldn't be living in this house. So I tried to convince her we should sell the house.
Yeah.
Because you can't be going up and down these stairs. But my mom has this pride, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, why don't you move in with my sister? My sister was even, come on, Ma, come over here. Stay closer to me. My mom is like, you know, too much pride. Doesn't want to feel like she's helpless.
Yeah.
And still wants to stay in the house, which is dangerous for her.
Yeah.
She could easily fall.
Yeah.
Luckily, we found a Lebanese woman in the neighborhood. We pay her a little money every week, and she shows up and hangs out with my mom all day. She cooks for my mom, so my mom's not eating bullshit food from outside, and it's been a blessing, man, you know?
Oh, that's nice.
It's a blessing. It's way cheaper than getting some type of live-in nurse.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, the lady is just a phone call away. She's not that far away.
Yeah, we had my grandmother.
So grateful for that, you know?
My grandmother did, like, a nursing home for, like, 10 years. That, to me, seems like... The worst way to die is to die in a nursing home sitting in a fucking white room that you've been there for years and just spending day after day and stuck in a bed. Like, just after seeing that, I was like, I would fucking shoot myself before I would end up that way.
Fuck, man. Let's just hope none of us ever have to rely on anything later. I just hope that as we get older, that technology gets to a point where, you know... We can get assistant in our own homes. Like Honda will have like a little robot that you can buy, you know, and that it'll cook for you and tell you what a piece of shit you are. Like a real wife. Yeah. Yeah, girl.
There you go.
That titty milk. Look how happy you are. Yeah. I'm happy like that too when I got a titty in my mouth.
It's very sweet, the titty milk is.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is that a thing with titty milk, or is it just, you know, is it just your wife's titty milk?
No. I mean, if
because
anything,
if I'm not mistaken, the titty milk is always formulated specifically for the baby.
Yeah, as far as like what's in it that they need for growth. It's very, yeah, titty milk's a very
that's a normal thing.
Very sweet, yeah.
Huh. Wow. You don't think it has anything to do with your wife, like, eats a lot of sweets? Or maybe, I'm not saying that she does. I'm wondering, like, maybe if it's part of her diet?
No. No, she doesn't eat that much sweets. And I don't know, she's vegetarian, but.
Is titty milk sweet?
Here's what I found.
Breast milk contains milk sugar lactose, even though lactose is not the sweetest type of sugar. When there is a lot, it's amazing. I can just pull this.
And also, it went to like, you're like, I want a scientific thing, but I did say titty.
I know. Yeah. Siri, you on point, girl. Yeah. It says, the taste of breast milk is generally considered to be sweet and creamy with a pleasant flavor. Mm. However, when it comes to which flavors you like and don't like, everyone has a different experience.
Wait, who's out trying multiple titty milks?
Me. Taste is developed over time depending on your genetics, your culture, and the foods that you're exposed to throughout your life.
Mm.
So basically, your wife was just eating nothing but baklava growing up, bro. Breast milk, just like any other food, can taste different to different people. Mm. Breast milk contains the milk sugar lactose. Even though lactose is not the sweetest type of sugar, when there is a lot of lactose present, the sweetness is much greater. Because lactose is one of the main ingredients in breast milk, it appears in high concentrations, giving breast milk its sweet flavor. Interesting. Breast milk also contains fat. The amount of fat in milk determines the creaminess. When breast milk first starts to flow from the breast, it has less fat. It may appear thin and watery. As the milk continues to flow, it becomes higher in fat and much creamier. What the fuck, bro? And you know what? Forget those women that don't want to breastfeed their kids, man. I don't understand that shit.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I have heard of people just not wanting to do it.
They don't want to.
But some people have complications and they can't, and that's fine. But it is way better for the kid to get breast milk opposed to formula.
Because it's for them.
And the fucking, this is why, I mean, we don't have to go in there. We don't need to get it flagged or anything, but...
let's get flagged, bro.
Well, like, it was, all the shit that's going on now with, like, the vaccine and, like, who's pushing it and stuff. See, look at that. I said vaccine, and all of a sudden, we got alarms going off.
That's it, bro. Guys, we just got canceled. There's a missile coming for us right now.
In the 70s, when they first came out with formula, or 60s maybe, okay. They were trying to convince people. It was like, the American Medical Association says this is better than breast milk, and it fucking totally wasn't at all. But it was just, you know, big business using medical companies and the American Medical Association to push so they could sell shit, but fully knowing that it's not better. It's not better than breast milk at all.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for the... I'm getting ready for the... I just want to see if it's actually working, though. Hold on. It's so cool. I finally... Guys, I got my website up, so now you can follow me at... you can follow this podcast now. It's easier to find. You know, sometimes people are like, where is it, you know, streaming? It's streaming now on Restream. So I'm streaming it to my Facebook, Mike from Detroit, and then to my YouTube, which is Mike from Detroit. But sometimes it's really hard to find it on YouTube. The podcast is called Public Yemeni. So now you just type in publicyemeni.com. It'll take you straight to my webpage. And you can stream the live feed right from my webpage at mikefromdetroit.com. But publicyemeni.com will take you to the page for the podcast on my website. Yeah. So let's do some trash bars, bro.
All right. Yeah, and then I'll probably have to go.
Yeah. Let me see if I... Oh, no. No.
That is what we just
It's not working, bro. Damn it.
No trash bars?
I don't think so, man. Because I was supposed to restart before I plugged that phone in, and now the audio from No trash bars? I don't think so, man. Hold on a second. Does anybody else hear the feed coming from YouTube when I play it? Because I don't think so, man, because it seems like my system audio is not working. And if I restart this thing, it's going to cut the feed. Damn, that makes me so mad. It makes me mad. I can't believe it.
You're just eating that
bottle. Hour and a half podcast with a baby.
Killed it. She did well.
She did do well, man. I'm really impressed, bro. If I had a baby, that baby would ruin the entire podcast, I think. No.
She's been a pretty happy-go-lucky baby so far. We've been lucky.
I think I've been seeing more and more babies that are, like, chill lately.
Yeah, I think it's parents, too, fucking not being so uptight about shit.
And I think it's also each generation now that we're seeing here in America are growing up with less prior trauma.
Yeah.
I think prior generations had a lot of...
I
you know what I mean?
I have relatives, though, like, who have kids, and it's funny to see different parenting styles and how it affects the kids, because there's, like, one person I know who is super neurotic about shit and about, like, cleanliness and about keeping shit, and that kid is a terror now, just, like, running around, like, wants to get in and fuck up everything. And
yeah,
just, like, and it's because he was, like, held back all grown up. Like, don't touch that. Oh, hey, watch out for that.
Yeah.
And then other kids who, like, their parents are just like, yeah, sometimes kids fall and bump their head and it'll happen to them. And those kids are way more chill.
Bro, that's why I went crazy in the Marine Corps, man. My dad was trying to keep me from drugs, trying to keep me from all kinds of fucking shit. I remember I was even trying to, like, I was learning how to DJ and, like, scratch and mix and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, this competition that was happening, and I couldn't wait to go. And he stopped me. He's like, no. All DJs do drugs. And then in resentment to that, I ended up selling drugs.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? And then I ended up joining the Marines to just fucking party. And then when I went to the Marines, how's this? The Marine Corps was born in a bar. Okay. That's the history of the Marine Corps.
Yeah. Was it like a
fucking Tun Tavern, Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
And people, you know, in the Marine Corps, when they train us, they're like, I hope you like drinking, man, because, you know, this is a drinking man's branch of the service. They sent me to rehab. When I checked in my first unit, I went balls out. The drinking was too far. Every formation run, I was trashed.
Yeah.
I would never fall out of a run because I couldn't feel anything. I couldn't feel a bullet, bro. But that just goes off to your point, man. You know, my dad was like really micromanaging me, and he turned me into a fucking Marine that fucking had a drinking problem.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you try and clamp down too hard, they're just going to fucking backfire. I mean, those are the fucking craziest chicks, too. Always the ones who fuck a lot are always
Catholic girls.
I was going to say cops' kids, but yeah.
Oh, I don't think I've ever hooked up with a cop's kid, man. Mm. But, yeah, Catholic girls in Detroit, man.
Yeah.
I don't know, something about Catholic girls. I don't know if, like, what makes Catholic girls hot? I don't understand, man.
But uniforms probably is a big thing.
I don't know about that. I think there's something else, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know a lot. Maine's weird. It's pretty conservative, pretty libertarian, but not religious at all, really.
There's a lot of Mormons up there.
No.
Right? No? No. I dated a Mormon girl in Maine. I forgot where in Maine she was.
There might be some, but there's not like a big contingency of Mormons.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She agrees. Okay, wow, you really know a lot about Maine. Damn, girl, you smart. Well, you want to end this, brother?
Yeah, I'll get her out of here. Thanks for having me on.
Guys, follow him.
Chaos United. Subscribe to my YouTube. Just search Handren CV, HANDRENSEAVEY. It'll come out Friday at midnight. And I got a ton of other shit on my Instagram and the YouTube. Tons of other stand-up clips and stuff you can check out. And my podcast, I Don't Want to Wait, that I do with Kim McVicker, where we watch every episode of Dawson's Creek.
Oh, yeah. I remember she told me about that. Kim, yeah. I got to get Kim on the podcast now that I think about it, man.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
She's taping a special this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Kim McVicker's another. She's a funny, funny girl. Okay, guys. Follow him. You can see it. The guys that are watching, you can see it on the screen the whole time. It's been up there. Handren.
Oh, nice.
CV, SEAVEY. And those are you listening again. Handren. CV, SEAVEY. And then, as always, I'm Mike from Detroit on everything. Follow, subscribe. If you're on YouTube, find me, Mike from Detroit. Subscribe, hit the bell so that you guys get the alerts. If you're listening to this on the podcasts, you know, on Spotify or on Stitcher or on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, definitely, definitely rate me 5 stars if you like the podcast. Leave a review. Please leave a review. Leave a nice review. Don't say anything mean. If you have anything mean to say, just don't do it. You know, call me up or just DM me. You're a piece of shit, Mikey Shack, and that's cool.
Don't talk behind backs. Talk to somebody's face.
Exactly. And then, you know, talking in the comments is practically talking behind someone's back, you know, because you're not there saying it.
Especially if you don't have your real name. You're just some fucking emoji or something.
Exactly. You know, like I'm like Megatron is going, you're a piece of shit. And I'm just like, you would say that, Megatron. All right, guys. I love you. Thank you. Again, next week, 2 p.m., I'll let you know who I have on. I hope you guys liked the podcast last week with porn star Sylvia Sage and Jordy Stroud, who was a kid that I met at an open mic who I think watches way too much porn. So the last podcast, if you guys missed it, was with Sylvia Sage, the porn star, and we sat down with this kid and tried to talk some sense into him. I think we failed, but it was still a fun podcast to listen to. But guys, again, thank you. Till next week, deuces!
Public Yemeni number 1.